Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Listen to this for just a second. When you think about country music, what comes to mind? Do you think about big hats, about heartbreak and Hank Williams? Well, maybe all of those are right, but if you dig a little deeper into America's heartland music, you can also find some new and diverse faces.
There's the way things are, the way that they should be. And I got pretty good at living in between.
That's Karen and the Sorrows, one of Rolling Stone's 10 new country artists to watch. They just released their second album last month. It's called The Narrow Place. Sometimes people put country music in a narrow place, but this band does everything in their power to escape that. Here's songwriter Karen Pittleman.
I'm definitely doing it wrong. I grew up in Manhattan. I'm Jewish. I'm queer. So I'm doing it wrong. But I did grow up with a lot of country music.
Karen Pittleman came into our Takeaway studios to play live for us recently, along with her Sorrows, Alana Redfield, Tammy Johnson, and Gerard Cowenhoven. And they told us why, even if you don't think of it at first, country music is a great place for queer artists and fans.
I think a lot of people are excited to see us because, I mean, if you think about it, just the queer part, if 10% of the population is LGBT, right? That means 10%, at least of all country fans, would like to see themselves reflected back in some way. And I think that's what we've all wanted. And that's why I've worked so hard to like build community around queer country stuff, because I just wanted there to be a space where everybody felt welcome. Because if you love music, you know, I always say, like, what do you do when you love a culture that doesn't love you back? And it's not true about all of country music, but the country music establishment hasn't always done a good job of making things welcoming. And sometimes it's done a horrible job, you know, and I do think country music gets asked to stand in for a conservative agenda a lot of the time, and that the rest of people making that music don't stand up and say no. What I love the most about country music is that I feel like more than any other genre of music, it asks you to bring your full self to the table, to really sing your truth. So what choice do I have? You know, I think if you're going to make good music, you got to bring your truth to it, and especially if you're going to make country music. So if country music's not ready for us yet, you know, we'll be here when it is.
Now, are you making queer country music, or are you queer people making regular old country music?
I would say it's queer country music.
Yeah,
why? Because we do it our own way. We don't go by the rules of it. You know, we find what resonates for us, and we use that to make a creative product. So, like, a lot of the songs draw from all of our different experiences, one of which is being queer, the one thing we have in common, but also experiences of growing up rurally or our musical heritage and the various kinds of influences we have.
So sometimes you'll see people cover country music and they'll flip like the words, like her instead of he or something like that. But we're actually writing those words as those people and not just taking a cover and switching it to like he or her or she or whatever kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Well, I think it's really important. Another thing that's really important in country music is to write a good love song or a good heartbreak song. And I think it's meaningful to put the pronouns in that you've experienced.
I know this world don't treat you right. Day and day, it's a fight. I know you dream of an escape. Some Superman to kill the pain.
Here's the thing, though, guys. We're at a point in America now where people are going to their cultural corners. I mean, there's a giant political phenomenon now. There's lots of crossover. Let's not pretend like everybody's divided. But we're in a point now where there's a big part of conservative social identity that's based on keeping what has always been theirs and not letting it go the way of political correctness or diversity. I mean, Make America Great Again, not disparaging the president necessarily, is part of that identity collection. You are trying to break into a genre of music that is part of that. You're trying to break through at a point when walls are being built up in that way.
Well, and I think that's a good time to try and break in, you know. and sing a song that hopefully just connects with people through the music. But then if that little trapdoor through connecting with people through the music also brings our political agenda, then I'm not shy to say we have an agenda.
I think it's really important to be brave right now and to like and to be really be your own self and to really be visible. Because we all have families that love us and we all have friends that love us and people out there. I think it's important that they see that we're not scared to call ourselves queer country or go out and play and call it like the gay old Opry or whatever kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's really important right now.
There seems to be a large section of the country that is battening down the hatches against the kind of thing that you guys are talking about through country music.
Yeah. You know. I think that's true, and I also think it's cyclical. And I think if you look at the history of country music, you can see those cycles. And you can see those moments, too, where, you know, even though maybe the stereotype of country music is that it's mainly conservative, you can also see a lot of radical moments in its history, too. You look at, like, Loretta Lynn's The Pill.
Mini skirts, hot pants, and a few little fancy frills. Yeah, I'm making up for all those years since I've got the pill.
That's a pretty radical song, you know, or Dolly Parton's Just Because I'm a Woman.
Yes, I've made my mistakes, but listen and understand. My mistakes are no worse than yours just because I'm a woman.
Which is basically a song against slut shaming, which is, you know, it's decades old, but it is just as relevant today. So I think this is a moment of battening down, and it's one that's come around before, and that all music and all culture, and especially country music in this moment, could have a role to play in opening things up instead of letting everybody retreat to their corners.
You sound a little bit like an iconoclast, and you sound a little bit subversive, and you sound a little bit like a punk. You guys are all nodding. Are you punks, or are you country musicians? Are you both?
Well, can't you be both? I mean, is anybody more punk than Johnny Cash?
I also think that part of it is just about building a world where you can be yourself, right?
Yeah.
And so it's about, like, creating a culture where we can respect each other. You know, it is important to be a punk and be yourself and really stand up for what you believe in so you can be honest and have honest interactions with each other.
The genres move together, and I think that's because our lives are not, you know, you don't just, like, sit only in this one corner.
You know, I can't help but think about, like, the Dead Kennedys playing Viva Las Vegas, uh-huh. which is a real country twang.
Yeah.
Jello Biafra yelling that song out. It's fantastic. Do you ever try something like that? Or
it's not really our scene. And there's other bands that do it so well, you know?
That's true. But, I mean, like, Hank the Third, he's pretty punk.
Yeah, Hank the Third is a great example.
I think there's a lot of people who are doing that. We tend to be more on the sad melodic side, but I used to be in a punk band.
What were they called?
Royal Pink.
Uh-huh.
And you know my old drummer, Emily Rems. She's been on The Takeaway before.
Oh, well, she has.
Yeah. But I just needed to write country songs. I had to stop.
I used to be in an all-girl Devo cover band.
Oh, awesome. I love Devo. That was my favorite band growing up. That's who I listened to. I wore out their tapes constantly.
You and me both. Let's sit and talk
like
about
80,
that for about
82, 83, 84. I wore them out.
New traditionalists.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Devo. Well, Oh, No, It's Devo came later. Are We Not Men, We Are Devo, which is my first album.
Overseas,
that's a good album.
And in the souk, all they had was ABBA, Michael Jackson, and Devo. And so those were the things that I usually listened to, is all bootleg tapes and stuff out in Saudi Arabia. When we moved stateside, I didn't know who Madonna was. Michael Jackson wasn't cool anymore, and nobody really knew Devo except for, I think, Whip It was then.
Yeah, it was their
that
top
was like
40
their big
hit.
Thing. Yeah, and I didn't even know that song, but I knew, like, Speed Racer, Time Out for Fun, and all that stuff.
Devo did a little bit of country punk. Devo did Comeback Johnny, which is a total country
They're
punk
killer.
Song.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are killer. I think it was the first album I ever got my hands on, and they were subversive as hell. I mean, that band taught me from, like, 8 years old. that subversion was cool and that irony yeah. was cool, even if I didn't quite get it. Why is this weird baby running around sticking forks in things? Why is that chimp in a diaper chasing a guy in a business suit? And then I got a little bit older and figured out, oh, it's all just anti-conformity. It's all subversion. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Thank God I discovered that when I did.
That's what we all need our Devos in whatever genre you need it to be delivered to you. And, you know, but I think subversion in music saves our lives. It certainly saved mine, so...
Well, it's great to have you here, Karen and the Sorrows. What a pleasure. Would you mind picking up the instruments in the studio here and playing a little bit for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. There's a way things are. Way that they should be. And I got pretty good at living in between. All those people on the TV screen playing out my favorite dream made it seem like something we could touch. A home, a family, our own little magnolia tree, but it was just something we watched. And you say, Cam is what you never had. Cam is what you never had, but I do. You say, Cam is what you never had. Cam is what you never had, but I do. Oh, I do. Ooh. Can shimmer a hope that says you never can tell. Oh, you're running as fast as you can away from this never, never land where no pixie dust ever made us fly. But I'm still on my windowsill watching the night sky, wishing you'd arrive. And you see, Cam is what you never had. Cam is what you never had, but I do. You say, Cam is what you never had. Cam is what you never had, but I do.
That's Karen and the Sorrows. Their album, The Narrow Place, came out earlier this summer. And you can check out their live performances here at the Takeaway Studios on our website at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.